we are in the hold of a ship belonging to the Blood Drunks. We are going to undergo quite a rigorous ordeal. We may be forced into a life outside the law, which I am not comfortable with.
Yeah, that was obvious.
Been looking for some people to get along with and find myself a new place.
We actually are all captives, aren't we? Captives of our own demise. As for me, I've been a captive for a long time.
Well, you should know that you're interrupting me during my lunchtime. I was very honest about what I was selling, and it is on you to ask the questions that you want answers to.
So you're telling me that shiny baby and that big nerd have been taken by pirates? Draw me a map, Mama.
The captain said that I'd like you to join him for dinner.
Well, we wouldn't want to be rude.
Are you sure we want to do this?
I am not.
New episodes of Imagine Dungeons, an actual play D&D podcast, every Wednesday.
Santa was missing, and Ivan Ivanovich had set out to find him. Of course, Ivan knew that Santa wasn't real. The Santa he was looking for was really a man named Ed McQueen. Ed was a 250-pound biker and resident of the Pink Flamingos trailer park who went by that jolly moniker. Ed was big and powerful, with a braided ponytail that hung to the middle of his back and a beard that reached nearly to his waist. He was covered in tattoos, many of which he regretted because of their gruesome nature. They were the result of bad decisions when he had been a foolish man before he had found peace and purpose. That peace came with acceptance of a higher power, and purpose flowed from that truth. A couple years back, Ed started a small motorcycle customization business that had flourished. His unique perspective on how to make each bike a personal statement for the owner had made him wealthy, and he had chosen to accept that wealth as a gift that he was to share with others. That little life lesson about sharing his wealth came from the boldest man he'd ever met. He didn't even know the man's real name, only called him Preacher Man. He was a counselor who'd come into the prison that Ed was an unfortunate resident of, and had told him that life was not about taking, which was what had landed Ed in prison, but instead, life was about giving. What made Preacher Man bold was that he had stared directly into the eyes of thieves and murderers and told them to get their act together, to clean themselves up, to be real men who served and not wicked men who only robbed and murdered. When Ed got out of prison, he moved to Nevermore Hollows, opened his shop, and when success came, he knew that he needed to share the fruits of that success. He'd come from a poor family, one especially devoid of hope, which had played a major role in his life of crime. And he knew there were plenty of poor kids in Nevermore Hollows, and he wanted to make a difference in their lives so that they knew that while life may be hard, there was always hope. Instead of buying a big, fancy house, he chose to live among the less fortunate, which in Nevermore Hollows was the Pink Flamingos Trailer Park. The Pink Flamingos Trailer Park sat 5 miles outside of town, and it had seen its better days 40 years ago. The trailers were old, the streets were cracked and potholed, and were named after the space age that had occurred during the middle of the last century. At the entrance of the park sat a large sign that displayed two flamingos and the name of the park in pink and teal neon. At night, some of the letters burned brighter, and if you read only those letters, it spelled out, In Flames Trailer Park. It was the perfect place for Ed to spread hope. He gave charitably where it was needed, but understood that being given a hand up was always better than a hand out. So he would help the residents there by giving them work in his shop or around his trailer when they were able, and he always made sure to speak truth in all situations. One of the many ways that Ed spread that hope and truth was by playing Santa on Christmas Eve. He was only 35 and too young to portray the traditional idea of Santa, not to mention all of his tattoos, so he decided to present his own unique version of the jolly old elf. During the whole month of December, he would wear a red leather biker jacket with fur collar, black jeans and black biker boots, and a shiny red German biker helmet on which he'd affixed a white cue ball to represent a pom-pom. He would be seen rumbling around Nevermore Hollows on his Indian Scout motorcycle that he'd painted matte black with a gleaming red headlight casing that was akin to Rudolph's shiny red nose, delivering toys and food to the poor families of the trailer park and the rest of Nevermore Hollows. Ed always made sure to let Ivan know when he'd be delivering presents to the kids on Christmas Eve. But tonight, he had not checked in, and Ivan suspected foul play. Ed was a man who could take care of himself, but in Nevermore Hollows, even the most badass residents often fell victim to the evil entities that lurked in the dark. So, just after 9 p.m., Ivan was driving the pink and white golf cart that belonged to the park, looking for Ed. The trailers were of various sizes and colors and laid out in a grid of lanes named after people and events during the space age, such as Aldrin Lane and Gemini Circle. The good people in the park had tried to keep their trailers as nice as possible. One of the ways was that they strung up white and multicolored strings of lights around their lots. They kept the lights up all year round, but during Christmas, they would often add extra lights and festive lawn ornaments. Ivan was the park's handyman and a man of few words. He wore his gray hair in a military buzz cut, and if you asked anyone in town about him, most would say that they thought he was 50, but in damn good shape for a man that age, and seemed to have always been working at the park. Beyond that, nobody knew anything about him, and Ivan liked it that way. He helped keep the aging trailers in good shape and had also become the park's protector, and he took that responsibility seriously. One of the stranger things about the trailer park was that at any given moment, there may be 100 trailers, or there may be 95, or maybe even 103. If you cared to pay attention, you'd realize that trailers seemed to pop into and out of existence at random times. Ivan tried to keep track to distinguish a pattern, but he was unable to discern any. All but one of these trailers had been empty of any kind of life, sentient or otherwise. And that was a year or so back when the Brousseau sisters, three inept trailer park witches, had found a jar with a demon's head inside it. That had caused all kinds of problems before he had been able to take possession of the jar and hide it where no one would ever find it. So, he'd learned to stay alert, always on the lookout for one of these trailers so that he could secure it before those redneck witches or anyone else could get inside and let something terrible loose upon the town. He drove down a lane toward the back of the park and noticed a glow one street over. There should be no reason for any light shining from there because the trailers on that street were unoccupied. He rounded the corner and turned onto Columbia Lane and stopped the cart when he saw the cause of the glow. Lot 101 was not supposed to have a trailer on it because it had burned down nearly 20 years ago. Ivan had personally seen to it that the blackened husk was hauled away, and he had turned the lot into his personal vegetable garden every spring thereafter. But tonight, sitting on the lot, was a trailer. It was one of those interdimensional trailers. This one was different from all the others he'd seen over the years, as it was painted in candy cane red and white stripes. However, the white was grimy and moldy looking, and the red had the quality of dried blood. The glow came from two sources. the first from a sickly yellow light from inside the trailer. He would not be able to peek inside the dirty windows because they appeared to be iced over. There was also a string of multicolored Christmas lights strung up along the eaves of the trailer. Many of the bulbs were broken, and the others flickered on and off, causing the shadows on the lot to writhe and dance as if in worship to some dark god. The whole trailer had a cloud of mist rising from it, as if it had been transported from a much colder climate than that of Nevermore Hollows, which was a coastal town. Parked in front of this strange trailer was Ed's Indian Scout. Ivan sat quietly for a moment, surveilling the trailer and the lots around it to make sure it was safe. He put the cart in gear and drove over and parked next to the Scout. The temperature in Nevermore Hollows was 55 degrees, but the lot the trailer sat on was much colder, giving Ivan a shiver. He exited the cart, grabbed his shotgun from behind the seat, and walked across the lawn. With each step, the cold got more profound. By the time he made it to the steps of the front door, his breath billowed out in white clouds, and he felt the chill all the way down to his bones. If he were to guess, he would say that the temperature was at least 30 degrees colder than the street. He glanced around to make sure he was still alone and that there were no threats. It was clear. He slowly, quietly walked up the steps to the front door. The small window set in the door was frosted over with ice, and he could see only the sick yellow glow coming from inside. He touched the doorknob. It was as if he'd grabbed a ball of ice. He twisted and gave the door a push. He brought the shotgun up to bear as he glanced inside. The trailer was laid out like all the others, with a living room directly in front of him, which opened onto a kitchen area directly across from the front door. A hallway led off to the left, which likely led to two small bedrooms, and a hallway led off to the right that would probably end up at the master bedroom. The living room looked as if it had been the scene of some epic battle. The coffee table was smashed, the small sofa had been ripped open, and the stuffing thrown about, and there were holes in the paneling, and blood covered everything. There was an ancient-looking television sitting against the wall. It was on, and even though the screen had been shattered, Ivan could see that a movie was playing. It was in black and white, and the characters were not human. They looked alien, deformed, and spoke English in hungry, guttural tones. And after a moment, he realized that it was a scene-by-scene recreation of It's a Wonderful Life. Somehow, it seemed blasphemous, an abomination of the beloved original classic. He unsuccessfully tried to repress a shiver. He stepped through the door, and that's when he was able to see beyond the overturned couch. There was a body there, dressed as Santa. It wasn't Ed. This guy was much older, fat where Ed was stout. He was wearing a traditional Santa suit, while Ed's was badass biker, and of course, Ivan could tell it wasn't Ed because this man's head had been removed and put on the mantle above the old gas fireplace set in the wall. The man's eyes and mouth were open, as if he had just been given a surprising gift. Blood tainted his white beard and the pom-pom that hung from the tip of his Santa hat. Ivan carefully stepped over the body and shot a glance down the left hallway. Another dead Santa lay on the floor. His right hand was missing, and his stomach had been ripped open. Ivan glanced to the right. Only parts of a Santa this time. An arm, a stump of leg sticking up from a cheap black boot, and what looked to be an ear. But there was light coming from the master bedroom. Ivan crept down the hallway, stepped over the bloody Santa parts, and took a quick look through the open door to his left. It was the bathroom. There was a nightlight plugged into the wall, and the feeble light bled into the tub. The rest of the Santa from the hallway was there. His skull looked like it had been squeezed in a vise, and gore spilled into the tub. Ivan grimaced, backed out of the bathroom, shot a glance behind him, back to the living room and down the hallway toward the spare bedrooms. It was clear. He moved further down the hallway toward the master bedroom. The door was slightly ajar, allowing yellow light to infect the gloomy hallway. He stepped up and peeked through the crack. The bedroom looked like a slaughterhouse. Blood was everywhere. There were the body parts of at least three more Santas. None of them were Ed. Other than that, the room was clear. Ivan turned and headed back to the living room. He glanced into the kitchen and noticed that the door leading out to the back was not fully closed. He'd missed that earlier. There was a head lying on the kitchen floor. It was gray-skinned with large, bug-like eyes and a small mouth. It also had a Santa hat pulled down over its forehead. Ivan stepped over it and moved toward the kitchen window. He glanced out onto the back lawn. In the wash of the flickering, multicolored Christmas lights was Ed. He looked as if he'd fought 10 hard rounds with Mike Tyson. One eye was completely swollen shut. His lower lip was split and would need stitches. His nose was broken and blood poured down his face. He had a metal candy cane about the length and girth of a baseball bat that must have been used as a yard ornament. He was using it as a weapon, holding it by the crook the other end pointed out. What Ivan saw standing in front of Ed was so surprising that he had a moment of difficulty wrapping his mind around the scene. It was another Santa, but this one was massive, easily 7 feet tall, with muscled arms and powerful legs. His outfit was more a uniform than a traditional Santa outfit. He was clearly a warrior. He stood in front of Ed, a confident grin on his face. Ivan saw that he had fangs like that of a wolf. Ivan could also see that he'd received a few bruises of his own and had been stabbed in the left thigh. Ivan saw the blood on the tip of Ed's metal candy cane and surmised that Ed had put up a damn good fight.
"You've seen what I did to those other Santas. I tore them apart with my bare hands."
Ed gave his own grin, though it was lopsided due to the split lip and swollen cheek.
"Yeah, well, obviously, I'm a bit tougher."
Ivan pushed the door open and stepped out onto the small deck. He leveled the shotgun at Santa.
"What's going on here?"
Santa cut his eyes at Ivan. He saw the shotgun and seemed to dismiss it.
"I am Santa, but not from this dimension. I got stuck in that damn trailer when it popped into my universe."
"Why all the dead bodies?" Ivan asked. Santa seemed confused at the question.
"They were posers, weaklings, unworthy."
Ed spat a wad of blood onto the ground.
"What the hell kind of Santa are you? You're supposed to be jolly and deliver presents to the children of the world."
Santa cut his eyes at Ed.
In my universe, I rid the world of bad children, making more room for the good ones.
Ivan walked down the steps, keeping the shotgun pointed at Santa.
You're not killing anyone else here today. Especially not children.
Santa gave a growling chuckle.
Who's going to stop me?
Ivan shot a glance at Ed. They locked eyes for the briefest moment. We are, Ivan replied. Santa gave another growling chuckle. He was darkly amused.
When I'm done with you two, I'm going to stay in this dimension and kill every single child on this damn planet.
Well, that settles it,
Ed said.
I don't like the idea of you killing kids in any dimension, especially this one. So I guess we gotta put you down.
With that, Ed shot forward and attempted to jab the candy cane into Santa's stomach. Santa batted it away, then rammed his enormous fist into Ed's shoulder. Ed was lifted off his feet and fell onto the ground 10 feet away. Ivan stepped closer to ensure the best possible damage from the shotgun and fired. But evil Santa was so massive that the shot caused only minimal damage and knocked him back just a single step. Santa laughed as if he were having fun. He stepped forward faster than Ivan could have realized for a man so massive, and he hammered a fist into Ivan's chest. Ivan hit the ground hard just as Ed pulled himself up and launched himself at Santa's back. He rammed the end of the candy cane under his left armpit. Santa grunted in pain, swirled around, and batted at Ed. But Ed had dropped to the ground and rolled under Santa's swing. Then he got up on his knees and rammed the candy cane into the back of Santa's thigh. Santa roared in pain and rage. He kicked back and his boot knocked the candy cane out of Ed's hands. As Ed scrambled to retrieve it, Santa grabbed him by his ankle and lifted him up. Ivan knew he couldn't fire a shot because he'd likely injure Ed, so he ran up to Santa, stuck the barrel of the shotgun against the back of the other thigh, and pulled the trigger. Blood splashed over Ivan as the buckshot tore a massive hole in Santa's leg. It must have shattered his thigh bone because Santa fell to one knee, but he still had Ed by the ankle, dangling him upside down. He swung Ed around, using him as a shield to defend against any further shotgun burst from Ivan. Ed had been able to grab the candy cane when Santa grabbed his ankle. He twirled it and stabbed it into Santa's wrist, causing Santa to drop him. He hit the ground hard, dislocating his right shoulder. Ed cried out in pain, then rolled away as his vision darkened. He was able to breathe through the pain and retain consciousness, but he was disoriented. With Santa resting his weight on his one good knee, his head was low enough that Ivan saw his opportunity to shoot the monster in his head. He brought up the gun, but Santa grabbed it with his good hand and wrenched it from Ivan. He tossed it away, then smacked Ivan with such force that he was thrown across the lawn. He was not conscious as he flew through the air, but when he hit the ground, it jarred him awake. He pushed himself up onto all fours, his vision blurry. He saw over Santa's shoulder that Ed was on his feet. He used his fist and pounded his dislocated shoulder back into place. Then Ed picked up the candy cane and ran up behind Santa. He raised the candy cane high, and Ivan saw that he intended to stab it into the back of Santa's head. Ivan wanted to keep Santa's focus away from Ed, so he pushed himself up and scrambled for the shotgun. Santa reached out to stop Ivan, which was exactly Ivan's plan. Santa knocked Ivan away from the shotgun and didn't see Ed running up behind him until it was too late. Santa turned to engage Ed, but when he did, Ed drove the end of the candy cane into Santa's forehead. It sunk deep. Santa went rigid, tried to speak, then fell heavily backward onto the ground.
There can be only one, bitch,
Ed said triumphantly. Ivan was so rattled by the blows he had taken that it took him a moment to realize what Ed had said. When it sunk in, he asked, "Did you just quote Highlander?" Ed stood over Santa's body, breathing hard. The metal candy cane stuck jauntily up in the air from Santa's forehead. He looked over at Ivan and shrugged his one good shoulder.
Seemed appropriate.
Suddenly, behind them, there was a low crackling sound, and the trailer blinked out of existence. The two men stood silently over the giant Santa's body for a moment, catching their breath and reflecting on what had just happened.
The fact that you and I just killed evil Santa from Dimension X doesn't seem to faze you, Ivan.
Ivan was a man of few words, which meant that when he did speak, his words carried power. Things like this happen often around here, Ed. Ed considered that in silence for a long moment. Then,
he said he killed bad children in his dimension. That must be a dark place to live.
Aren't they all? Ivan said.
There's no telling how many kids we've saved by killing this bastard.
There was another long silence as they considered the implications of their actions.
We did a good thing.
I have no remorse. He was evil. Besides, all children, whether they be good or bad, deserve grace, especially on Christmas Eve.
Ivan gave a rare smile. He already liked Ed, but now there was a deeper appreciation for the man.
Let's get this cleaned up. And if you don't mind, I'd like to help you deliver all those presents tonight.
Ed gave a smile. Ivan could see he was missing a tooth.
I'd like that a lot, Ivan. We might look like hell, but tonight, we're going to bring the light.
Mm-hmm.